Listening Library presents Wonka by Shebelle Pounder. Inspired by Roald Dahl's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Based on the screenplay by Simon Farnaby and Paul King. Read by Patterson Joseph.
Prologue. Here comes Wonka. Some children are born to be chocolate makers. This was certainly true of Willy Wonka. Yet for a long time, no one would have thought it. For starters, he almost never ate chocolate. In fact, he ate only one bar a year. One day, he would grow up to live in the world's biggest and most brilliant chocolate factory. But as a young boy, Willy Wonka lived on the world's smallest boat. It was an old narrowboat, with a tiller painted in multicoloured stripes, and a cosy cabin with hand-sewn curtains. Inside, there was just a single bed with a soft knitted blanket where Willy slept, an armchair where his mother slept, a stove and a kitchen filled with broken cupboards and a worm-eaten dining table. The woodworms ate more at that table than the Wonkas ever did. Everything about the beginning of this story is small. The small boy, the small quantity of chocolate, the small boat and the small family who lived aboard it. Willy Wonka's family was almost as small as a family could be. There was Willy, of course, and his mother. They moored their small boat on a quiet stretch of the river, and as not many people from town ventured there, they often had the lush riverbank all to themselves. It was one of Willy's favourite places. There was tall grass for lazing in, sprinkled with buttercups and rhododendrons, flowering in colours of pink and mauve and red. Willy's favourite part was the gigantic willow tree, with its thick branches that swooped low over the boat before dipping into the river. He thought of the tree as another member of the family, a twiggy old protector of their small but grand life. Not many people would see their life as grand, of course, but Willy Wonka did. He could see what others couldn't because he had the most wonderful imagination. Willy's imagination would one day become as famous as his chocolate, but before it belonged to the world, it was small and new and belonged only to him. His mother was the one who nurtured it, letting it grow wild so it could spin off into places no imagination had been before. And then there was the chocolate. The one bar. It wasn't much, but it was enough, because it was the best bar in the world. His mother would make it for his birthday, and as the special day approached, he would feel the excitement bubbling up in him until he thought he might burst. The chocolate-making ritual was always the same. The night before his birthday, his mother would tip a bag of cocoa beans onto the table and carefully count them out. He'd watch her pluck them from the table, one by one, and his mouth would begin to water. It took her all year to save up enough money to buy the right amount for one bar, and he could tell she was as excited about making it for him as he was about eating it. When the counting stage was finished, she'd throw the beans in a pot and begin crushing and whipping and stirring, and the whole room would be engulfed in a chocolatey steam. It was so thick and delicious, it felt like being swept up in the most scrumptious cloud. Oh, how he loved to watch her stir the thick, bubbling mixture. As his mother made magic, Willy took long, deep sniffs of the rich, heavy smell and knew there would be no adventure in the world that he loved more than watching his mama make chocolate. Soon, the delicious bar of chocolate would be waiting for him on the table, and he'd spend the rest of the day walking around with a melted chocolate moustache and a big grin. It was like that every year, and it was perfect. "You know, Mama," he said one year, as they huddled around the table making chocolate, "I bet you make the best chocolate in the whole world. I'd taste all the chocolate that ever existed just to prove it." "Do you know where they say the very best chocolate in the world comes from?" she replied, looking around as if she was readying to tell a great secret. "The Galerie Gourmet. That's where the finest chocolate makers have their shops." "Theirs can't be better than yours, Mama," Willy said. "It's impossible." She smiled. "Well, as it so happens, I do have a little secret that even those fancy pants don't know." What is it? Willy asked, edging closer. He wanted to know the secret more than he'd ever wanted to know anything in his whole life. I'll tell you one day, she said. Now, while the chocolate sets, would you like to open your present? We should go, Mama, he cried suddenly, making her jump. Where's that, then? To the Gallery Gourmet, he said, practically bouncing on the spot. We could start a shop. She raised a curious eyebrow.
What?
Us? Yes, with our name above the door and everything. Wonka. Everyone in the world will want our chocolate. Think how happy we could make people. His mother brushed some chocolate dust from her apron and smiled. Oh, I can see it now. A fine shop. Tables piled high with chocolate. Willie's eyes grew wide as the place materialized in his mind. And the tables would be made of chocolate. The whole shop would be made of chocolate. His mother beamed.
What a wonderful dream, Willie.
He slumped. Is that all it is? Just a dream? Hey now, she said. Every good thing in this world started with a dream. So you hold on to yours. And when you do share your chocolate with the world, I'll be right there beside you. You promise, he whispered. I pinky promise, she said with a smile. And that's the most solemn vow there is. Then she took a piece of paper, which she'd set aside to wrap the chocolate, and wrote Wonka across it, adding a swish and a swirl to the W, and carefully colouring it in. Once she'd finished, she handed Willy something wrapped in old newspaper. Your present, she said. The magician in town was selling it. Did me a good deal. Willy beamed and began ripping the package open, his fingers working fast to tear the inky paper. Inside, he found a new coat. He pulled it on. His hands barely went past the elbows. You'll grow into it, his mother said. One day you will. And, oh, the adventures you'll have in it. The coat came with a tall hat. Slowly he placed it on his head and rose to his feet. His mother handed him his chocolate, small and still warm, and he cradled it in his hands like the most precious prize. Mustn't forget the most delicious bit, she said with a wink. He beamed at her, and then he slipped the bar into his pocket. There he was, Willy Wonka, in his plum-coloured tailcoat and fine top hat. Chapter 1 City of Dreams 7 years later. Willy stood on the deck of an old fishing ship, cloaked in mist and smiling brightly. All around him, the weather-worn crew were busying themselves on deck, and young Mr. Wonka couldn't have looked more out of place in his bright green waistcoat and multicoloured scarf. 7 years I've been at sea, he said to a nearby fisherman who was scrubbing a crate and barely listening. But now it's time for a new adventure. My next stop is almost upon us. Oh, really? The fisherman said. Everyone on board had grown quite used to Willy's strange tales and flights of fancy by now. Every minute the tide carries me closer to my dreams, Willy said grandly. Where's that, then? The fisherman asked. Willy grinned and pointed to the horizon. There, glinting brightly in the winter sun, was the city he had pinned all his hopes on. It looked even more marvellous than he had imagined, sprawling and grand, and he took a big sniff. The smell was the best part of all. The whole place, even from afar, smelled of chocolate. Oh, it was heavenly, even when mingled with the scent of barrels full of fish. He pulled a small old chocolate bar from his pocket. The makeshift wrapper was faded now, but his mother's writing still remained. He traced his fingers over the swirly letters. Wonka. A harbour bell sounded in the distance. Land ahoy! Willy cried. They won't know what's hidden, Mr. Wonker, the fisherman said with a chuckle, and he headed off to ready the boat to dock. Willy took one last great big sniff of chocolatey air before trotting inside to the engine room. There, He scooped up his trusty plum.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?